Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's August the 1st, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock, as we do each and every Wednesday. She's with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the energy bill vote has been set for Friday. The National Farmers Union supports a renewable electricity standard. And there's good news for the ethanol industry. We'll have all the details of these and other news stories shortly. And then we'll check in with the United Soybean Board. They're busy putting together the research budget for the next fiscal year. Well, don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
Taking a look now at the numbers as they settled in Chicago at the Board of Trade on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures like this. In the wheat pit, September contract at 636, up 6. December futures 7 higher at 656 for the day. July wheat next year down 4 cents at 555 and a half. September corn futures at 319 were down 6 and 3 quarters today. December futures at $3.36 were down 6 and a quarter. And the March corn, 6 and a quarter lower at 651 and a quarter. Next year's December futures were down 5 and a quarter at $3.87 and three quarters. August soybean futures, 825 and three quarters, down 8 and a quarter. September futures at 832 and a half, down 8 and three quarters. November's at 848 and three quarters, were down 8 and three quarters. November of next year, well, I don't have that one updated for the day. August bean meal futures at 215.30 were down 30. August bean oil at 37.29 were down 47. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby feeder cattle at 116.97 and a half, down 37 and a half cents. And the August live cattle at 93.42 and a half were down $1.45. October futures there at $98.80 were down $1.15 today. Lean hogs August contract at 72.32 and a half were down $1 even.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Taking a look now at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange this afternoon. With us is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Your assessment of trade over the day.
Well, a couple of things. Early a.m. this morning, we did get the story that the Douglas County tour, crop tour, and, you know, Douglas County is probably one of the top producing counties in the state of Illinois, Center, Tuscola. The range of the yield was 174 to 170 on the averages I heard, and they were, you know, when you get into a group, one guy said this was the official number, and the other one said it was another official number. But basically, using last year's 163 and the average, it's 9 bushels better. Probably pretty predictable. You know, the population's better, triple stacked hybrids, you know, no flooding, no nitrogen loss, pretty nice weather in Douglas County. That's one of the first things we saw. The second one is the weather forecast this morning, early 4 o'clock, was basically wetter in the upper Midwest and drier, warmer, and then it got a little wetter. And whenever you hear the word wetter, that made everybody run for the exit, and the corn and soybean market went lower. The third thing, I just saw the 6 to 10 and 8 to 14, and it looked to me they still have everything above. They have Illinois for normal on the 6 to 10, but the 8 to 14 below on precip. And all that, to me, indicates that we're going to be on our, we're going to be keeping our fingers crossed for rain in central Illinois, short-term and long-term, from that perspective. It'll be interesting to see how Drew draws his picture there, you know, in the afternoon here today. The commodity funds, the moving average has turned up in the wheat. The 20-day moving average created some exciting buying there, and there was some export business. But all in all, the FC Stone numbers come out this afternoon. They're very well respected, and the marketplace will focus on those numbers this afternoon.
And we'll try to take a look at those a bit later today and talk about them again tomorrow. What are your expectations as we head towards that August crop production report due out on the 10th?
Well, you know, my impression is I think the stone numbers will be somewhere a bushel, probably 151 on the corn number. I don't think it's a 150 yet, but if we stay dry, 10 days, that number will drop. In 150 equates to about a 1.5 billion bushel corn carryover. The bean number probably in that 42 to 43 bushel mark, but the market is very sensitive to moisture, and that's one reason why we did see the sell-off today.
Any new advice for producers as we head into the latter part of the growing season?
A couple things that we do here. You know, we are in a futures market, and we do hear the word, you know, in particularly south of here, you know, more wheat planted for next year, and in the Midwest, more soybeans. The farmer, in my opinion, is going to be more conscious of prices of new crop corn in the springtime, and my hunch is the verdict will be if the price of corn is below $3.50, smaller corn acreage, and if the price is up at the $4 mark, we'll see higher. So this is going to be a nightmare to seed corn, chemical, and the end user. We'll see a pretty drastic shift in acreage if we see prices under $3.50 a bushel.
And what are your expectations for fall lows?
Well, my opinion is that if we do come into this 150 bushel mark, 320, 315 will be the futures market price. I tell you what, it's a guessing game on the basis of, you know, the function of the futures market is to have the cash and futures come together, and the basis is awfully wide. So some of the basis levels will probably stay pretty wide if we do have a crop above 150.
The marketplace is generally telling farmers to still store both corn and soybeans. Market, I suppose, is right. Do you have a different story at all?
Well, you know, particularly in soybeans, you know, I'd even probably empty a corn bin and fill it with beans. We are getting some reports that people are going to go to the extra effort, put a couple of rings of in a machinery storage area, use the tarp to cover their $230,000 combine for 30 days and go from there. My general impression is that a person does have to be innovative in here, and the real tough decisions of harvest, storage basis, and pricing are all big factors. But you can rest assured that if there's space available, you know, it's historically prudent for the farmer to follow the big grain company. And when the basis is wide and there's big carry in the markets and interest rates is relatively cheap, you put it away and put a cover on it.
How long do you think farmers will need to be able to hold the short-term storage, the stuff that they might be putting on the ground?
Even if they do it for 30 days, Todd, it'll be a big boost. It'll be a bonanza for them to find a place to buttonhole it and put it away. The basis will improve the quickest in soybeans and then corn.
Okay,
and I think even wheat, to some extent, you're going to see a big slamming of the basis, particularly as the export demand gets better.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Well, just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Our own AM 580's Mike Sola says the two-state region tonight will be clear. Lows will be between 63 and 68, with the low to mid-70s near Lake Michigan. Tomorrow, another short one for the forecast. Sunny, high across the two-state region between 90 and 95. Tomorrow, winds will remain generally light, less than 10 miles an hour. Dew point temperatures expected to peak in the range of 64 to 70 degrees. A cold front will enter northwestern Illinois on Thursday, but that's expected to weaken before making its way into the central part of the state. That'll keep the best chance for rain confined to the northern and western parts of Illinois on Thursday and Friday. A few stray thunderstorms may develop in central Illinois and western Indiana on Friday, but coverage will be limited. And the front holds together on Saturday. It could bring a rain to central and southern sections, that according to our own Mike Sola. And finally, another dome of heat expected to build across the upper Midwest next week. The warmest air of the season could be here for much of that duration.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In today's agricultural news, the energy bill vote has been set for Friday. A compromise brokered with Energy State Democrats will permit an energy package to come to the House floor this Friday. The new energy package, H.R. 3221, is an amalgam of bills produced by 11 committees that Democrats say would accomplish three goals: increase energy efficiency, spur research and investment in technologies, and regulate the oil and gas industry. Leadership aides say the bill, all 786 pages of it, will come to the floor joined as a single rule to a $16 billion tax package. That's H.R. 2776, written by the Ways and Means Committee. The bill will be joined but debated and voted on separately on the floor. Well, the National Farmers Union supports a national renewable electricity standard that would increase use of electricity generated by renewable sources and increase farm income. NFU has called for adoption of a national RES of 25% by 2025. That includes a strong local ownership component and supports efforts underway in the House to require renewable energy sources such as wind, solar, geothermal, and biomass to provide 20% of America's electricity by the year 2020. And there's good news for the ethanol industry in a report the Consumer Federation of America has released a report that explores the advantage to consumers in expanding the production of liquid fuels like ethanol. The Federation study finds that current record gasoline prices are due to a shortage of refinery capacity, not to the price of crude oil, and that the oil industry is contesting the growing support for ethanol because ethanol poses a challenge to the oil industry's market dominance. The study concludes that oil industry threats to offset ethanol production with cuts in refinery expansion and with policies that limit ethanol distribution should be taken seriously. The study says the threats demonstrate the oil industry's unchallenged power and the ability to limit competition. The Iowa Corn Growers Association applauded the study. Jim Meyer, a corn grower and associate director from Aldbolt, Iowa, says we've seen a lot of misinformation being peddled about the ethanol and gasoline. It's refreshing to see a consumer focus group like the CFA setting a record straight. Meyer says it's good to get this confirmation about energy pricing from a group known for putting consumer interest first. And finally, Monsanto's Roundup Ready 2 yield technology trait has been cleared for planting in both the United States and Canada. Completion of the U.S. regulatory process is seen as being a necessary step toward obtaining approvals in some export markets around the globe. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration already has approved Roundup Ready 2 yield soybeans for human and animal consumption. Monsanto anticipates bringing the trait to the U.S. market in 2009. That's a look at today's agricultural news.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank,
serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Soybean Checkoff News. Soybean Checkoff farmer leaders serving on the United Soybean Board are planning for the future of the United States soybean industry. They've been finalizing their funding priorities for the 2008 fiscal year. Eric Neiman is a Kansas soybean farmer who serves as the USB chairman, and he says planning for the best use of soybean farmers' checkoff dollars is a top priority.
We begin our strategic plan for 2008. We are doing budgets, the finalized budget for 2007, where we will be ending on October 1st with 2007 marketing year, beginning with our 2008 allocation of dollars for that year, and our strategic plan looking out at 2009. So it's a very important meeting.
The Soybean Checkoff will continue to promote and support the growing biodiesel industry in 2008. Neiman says other areas of focus include partnering at home with soybean farmers, the number one customer, the U.S. livestock industry, and working to meet customer needs overseas.
International marketing continues to be a focus for us as we see the importance of soybeans exporting to different countries around the world. We continue to see world growth that demand a high-quality product that we can produce. We continue to see more work done in aquaculture. Rapidly growing industry that we're involved in, one that we see a lot of promise in.
USDA estimates that by the end of the 2006-2007 marketing year, that's this fall, some 435 million bushels of soybeans will be exported to China alone. This represents roughly 41% of all soybean exports. China is projected to import 1.139 billion bushels of soybeans for 2007. That's up 381 million bushels from 2001.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Well, just a couple things to remind you about as we head into the bottom of the hour here. Agronomy Day on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois is coming up. That's scheduled for August the 16th, the third Thursday of the month, as it always is. Your chance to visit the South Farms here on the U of I campus and talk with the researchers and the scientists who've been working with you and for you all year long. It starts at 7 o'clock in the morning, runs through the noon hour for the field tours. I'll be dispatching those from the South Farms, which is located not too very far from the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road. Starts at 7 o'clock on Thursday, August the 16th. It's absolutely free. There is a nominal charge if you stick around for the noon hour lunchtime. And don't forget that Farm Progress Show returns to the Midwest in Illinois on the 29th and the 28th and 30th of this month. We'll be there in spades with the University of Illinois at Decatur, Illinois, where they have a permanent Farm Progress Show site. And that one comes up on the last 3 days of August of this month. A couple of items that you might want to put in your calendar. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find some of that information and information on our weekly and daily outlook panels that will be scheduled across the Midwest. If you want one near you, just drop us a line here at the radio station. You can do that by visiting willag.org.
This is Les Schulte, Director of Corporate Support. WILL has made a significant commitment to providing area farmers and agribusiness professionals with the best information possible. But we need your support to help continue and grow this service. If you own or manage a business, consider supporting WILL through one of our business programs. Call 217-333-0850 for more information.
Time now for our Wednesday visit with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, to take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
And a hot afternoon to you, Todd.
It is a hot afternoon, but I suspect the corn is doing all right in your area. Tell me if it's otherwise.
Well, no, we're doing fine here. The corn crop looks really wonderful here. It's just, well, they say this area is about as good as any place around here if you go any direction from here. Some of the sand ground is hurting a little bit, but boy, the last week or so, the beans are starting to suffer on sand, and we don't have any rain in sight, so the beans, I think, are going to get hurt worse than the corn. But corn, yeah, it looks pretty good, Todd.
And then as you take a look at the cash basis levels to the southeast, where you normally ship train values, how are they doing?
Corn still struggles to keep from losing any ground, and we have lost maybe 3 cents from the basis since you and I talked last week, but nothing really drastic. But the bean basis is getting real interesting because we've seen such terrible basis levels, and it looks like they're starting to rally a little bit too. It started yesterday, and I'm not sure exactly how it's going to transpire, but it does look like they are really coming off of some really, really low numbers.
And how wide has it gotten?
Well, I mean, anywhere from 110 under to, in a lot of places, to some of the processors are sticking at 45 under. And as now, that's for new crop, of course. But but the cash basis seems to be getting a little bit better too. It all started at the Gulf, so the CIF basis is getting better. It hasn't reflected that much on rail, but hopefully that is yet to come.
And if you had to guess, will this continue?
I certainly hope so. I just could not understand, you know, why basis levels were so cheap. I know that we still had a lot of beans left over, but evidently everybody just stopped selling them because you had to carry a new crop, and I guess maybe that kind of made them realize that maybe they were going to have to pay up the beans if they wanted to get some.
Enough so that you think there might be an early bottom in the bean market?
Well, you know, there's just a lot of talk out there that we ought to be near the bottom in seasonal lows. There's no doubt basis levels are probably going to get a lot worse in corn, I think, because we're going to have such a glut coming in. But, you know, the beans, we may have the downside limited from here. You know, we lost a dollar out of them, so let's hope we're near a bottom here.
All right, Ann, what are your bids for the day?
Our cash corn today is 313, beans 764, and cash wheat is 551.
We appreciate you being with us. You'll be gone for a couple of weeks.
I certainly will, but I'll look forward to talking to you when I get back.
All right, we'll talk to you in mid to late August then.
All right, thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. She joins us here on the Closing Mark Report that happens on Wednesday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather forecast for the Midwest. Your regional newscast comes up in a moment.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Al Blagojevich says he's prepared to spend months working to get the state budget he wants. The Illinois budget expired at midnight. Officials say if a new one isn't approved by August 8th, it could start interfering with the state paychecks and aid to schools. But today, Blagojevich said he's not in a hurry to resolve the budget dispute, even if that takes a couple more months. In fact, he says there's nothing wrong with state officials taking a full 12 months to get the budget right. To keep the state running, the Democratic governor wants to pass a temporary budget while negotiations continue, but lawmakers are ignoring that proposal. The University of Illinois has about a month's worth of reserves to see it through a budget standoff, but U of I spokesman Tom Hardy says the university's made no contingency plans beyond the end of the month because it's confident that the stalemate ends before then. Hardy says the U of I and other public universities can draw from tuition revenue or other alternate sources of ready cash, at least to keep campuses open for the month. A teenage bicyclist has died after he was hit by a semi-truck this morning in Tuscola. The Champaign County Coroner's Office says 16-year-old Christopher Cowley was hit at U.S. 36 and Washington Street and was pronounced dead at Carl's Urbanus Carl Hospital. State police continue to investigate. The head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says the agency won't stop a permit allowing a BP refinery in Indiana to dump more pollution into Lake Michigan because it complies fully with the Clean Water Act. EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson says he saw nothing wrong with the permit that Indiana regulators awarded in June to BP. The oil giant is the first company in years allowed to increase the amount of toxic chemicals pumped into the Great Lakes. The Piatt County Board is the next and final stop for two companies that want to build a corn processing plant in a rural area near White Heath. Last night, the County Zoning Board of Appeals turned down an earlier proposal for a plant near the small town of Lodge, but unanimously gave their okay to the White Heath proposal. Clarkson Grain and Chicago-based El Milagro say they're fine with several stipulations on lighting, activity, and other limits, but the decision has angered residents near the proposed facility who worry about odors and other effects. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL Urbana. Remember to visit our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find most of our daily agricultural updates, downloadable as MP3 files or as a podcast if you'd like to have that delivered directly to your computer. The address is WILLAG.org. Be sure to sign up for our weekend newsletter while you're there. Just hit subscribe. That's all at willag.org. Well, at this time on Wednesday afternoons, we're normally joined by Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Drew, unfortunately, unavailable this afternoon. We do have our forecast from Mike Sola. He says the two-state region will be clear this evening. Lows will be between 63 and 68. The low to the mid-70s near Lake Michigan will be the one exception. Thursday, sunny skies, highs between 90 and 95. Tomorrow, the winds will remain generally light, less than 10 miles an hour. The dew point temperature is expected to peak in the range between 64 and 70 degrees. The heat index is expected to reach up to 100 degrees in a few areas. Keep the water nearby, the pets inside, and the livestock well watered as well. Try to find some shade if you can. Minimum relative humidity levels will range between the upper 30s and the mid-40s. The extended forecast for the two states call for a cold front to enter northwestern Illinois on Thursday, but it's expected to weaken as it makes its way into central Illinois. That'll keep the best chance for rain confined to the northern and western parts of the states on Thursday and Friday. A few stray thunderstorms may develop, says Mike Sola, in central Illinois and western Indiana Friday, but coverage will be limited. If the front holds together on Saturday, it could bring rain to central and southern sections of the two-state region. Another dome of heat expected to build across the upper Midwest next week. The warmest air of the season could be here for much of the next week. There's also a chance for a few thunderstorms as occasional disturbances roll into the region through that period. That's a look at what the forecast is like for the two-state region in Illinois and Indiana. Remember, if you'd like to hear that forecast again, or any of the ag programming, you can visit our website at willag.org. It's WILLAG.org. A couple of things on the calendar we told you about already. Remember, the 16th of August is Agronomy Day here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Your chance to visit with the researchers and the scientists who've been working with you and for you all year long. It's Agronomy Day. It kicks off at 7 o'clock a.m. on that Thursday morning. Runs through 2 o'clock, and I'll be dispatching wagons on the tour of the South Farms starting at 7 o'clock all morning long, right through the noon hour. Visit us there. The South Farms is located not too awfully far from the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road. The other item to put on your calendar as a place to visit will be Farm Progress Show. That'll be the last 3 days of August in Decatur at Farm Progress City. It's easy to get to. Make plans to be there on those last 3 days of August, or one of them. We'll be holding, of course, our ag panels that we're famous for here at WILL in the University of Illinois tent and the AgriGold tent. It's all at Farm Progress Show those last 3 days of August. You have a good afternoon. Keep us on your calendar. Keep tuned to WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason.